What a bunch of cuties. Good night. All right, thank you. I hate that when I think somebody's somebody else. Yeah, I think I'll be all right. Anyway, come on, let's go. Ephesians chapter 2. Because I just saw her last week, and I was talking to her. She's such a pretty little girl. My goodness. But Emma's pretty, too. So, you know, what are you going to do? The problem is when Larry, I'll never mistake who you are. I guarantee you that. Yeah. All right, let's go. Ephesians chapter 2. This will be our foundation. I'm going to pass and review very briefly about what we touched on last week when we began this series. And last week, if you'll remember, I was talking to you about the subject of faith, grace, and mercy, and we gave definitions. Today, the title of the message is God's Grace. Okay, we're going to look at grace. There's been a lot of misunderstanding about grace, and frankly, I think that what happens is people mistake grace and mercy, and they use those interchangeably, and there is a difference. One is only activated by faith or appropriated in your life by faith, and that's grace. Mercy happens even when you're not believing. And mercy, actually, I'll give you a definition of that in a moment, is God's kindness. So, interesting. Here, we began with a definition of the word faith. Faith is this. It's an investment of your belief system in the Word of God, okay? The Bible says in Proverbs 23, verse number 7, that as a man is, or as he thinks or believes, he is. Okay, in other words, it says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. There are different ways of saying that in different versions, but the bottom line is how people think is how they're going to be. So if you believe the wrong things, you could be in trouble. You go on believing things that aren't right. If you believe God's the one who kills, if you think God's the one that steals from you, God's the one who is tempting you, testing you, and trying to do things to you in your life, God did this to teach me something, you know, all the stuff that goes on people say about God. They make God out to be something worse than a mafia hitman. My goodness sakes. God's not out killing his kids. He's not stealing from them. He's not trying to trick them. He's not trying to trip them up. But see, if a person believes that way, they open the door to a whole lot of things, bad things. And the enemy takes advantage of that. So you need to know who you are and who your father is. If you came to me and told me that my dad, of course, is in heaven, but if you came and told me that when my dad was here in the earth, that he was doing all he could to see to it that I would just have a terrible life, a lousy life, and I would end up sick, and my dad was working against me his whole life. If you told me that, you know, I remember Brother Copeland years ago saying, bless God, you better duck. Well, why? He said, I won't take that, you know. And I'm like, well, I won't tell you need to duck, but it's still a lie. My dad was not working against me, and your dad in this life's not working against you. And the Father God, of course, is not working against you either. He loves you. He loved you so much that he sent his son, his only son, to die for you, and he didn't have to do that. But he loved you that much, okay? What you believe shapes your decision-making here in this earth. It shapes the decision-making process that you go through on a day-by-day basis, what you believe. Some people believe it's okay to do all sorts of crazy things that the Bible calls sin. And if a person believes that, I mean, they're going to continue. They're going to do it. Well, it's okay. Well, until they get in and hear the Word, what the Word has to say. Well, there's all sorts of stuff that people think, and then you start getting into the Word, and the Word says something different. Okay? So the Word is the final authority, and you and I need to make deposits of the truth or of the Word into our belief system. Amen? You need to make daily deposits. You know, how big would your bank account be if you were just constantly making big deposits all the time? You know, every day you're going in making hundreds and hundreds or thousands and thousands of dollars deposited into your account. I just wait and do it all on one day. That's what a lot of Christians try to do on Sunday. And that doesn't work. You need to be doing it every day. Every day get into the Word. Every day hear the Word. Every day talk to your Father. Amen. Your belief being invested in the Word is what faith is in your life. Your belief being invested in the Word. Your belief system has to be founded in and upon this. What you believe needs to line up with this. Amen. And if it doesn't, you need to change it. Amen. So we said faith was an investment of your belief system in the Word of God. The second word that we looked at was grace. Grace, you could put it down this way. There are a lot of ways of defining grace. I mean, the unmerited favor of God. That's true. It's unconditional. Grace is. It's undeserved. It's unmerited. But it's an extension of God's blessing in the form of that unmerited favor. Grace is and here's what you need to see about grace. Grace is available to everybody in the person of Jesus Christ. Okay? Underneath the heading of grace, when we talk about grace, there are things that come underneath what grace has provided. Can you say amen? Salvation. Our foundation, we're going to go there in just a moment. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest somebody would get a big head about it and boast. But here it is. Grace is available to everybody in the person of Jesus Christ. Under the heading of grace, what's been provided through grace? What has been extended to you through grace in the form of the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ? Well, first thing is, of course, eternal life, salvation, right? Huh? Sure. When you start talking about grace, you're talking about God favoring you, and that's underneath that broad categorization of what grace has provided. The favor of God, how much bigger of a favor could he do for you than to provide a way out of going to hell for eternity? That's some favor, amen? Okay, so when we realize that favor has been extended to man, underneath part of what that favor has provided is salvation. The Greek word for salvation, many of you know it, is sozo. Different forms of it, sozo, soteria, soterion. But it means, of course, saved from your sins, but it also brings into play delivered, healed, provided for. I mean, when the Father sent Jesus Christ into the earth, he covered every base for you and I. That's his grace poured out to you. Now go to Ephesians 2. And we'll read this right now. Verse number 8. I just quoted it, but we'll read it. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift or the gift of God. Not of works, verse 9, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that you should walk in them. So after you received Jesus Christ, then there ought to be some works that follow you. You ought to have some good works going on in your life. It should be obvious to people that you're a believer in Jesus Christ. You shouldn't be one of these undercover Christians. Can't tell. Can't tell whether you're a Christian or not. And the most embarrassing thing, and really the most, it should be the most convicting thing, if somebody came up to you and said, you're a Christian? Ooh, think about that for a minute. You're a believer and someone comes up to you one day when someone else talked to them or told them, oh yeah, they're a Christian, and they go, you're a Christian? That should get your attention real quick, that your witness has been a little bit less than stellar, amen? Come on, you guys there, you go home on me already. I'm here. I'm getting ready to go home. No, don't be doing that. Not till we're done. So underneath grace, you could put eternal life, of course, salvation, but then you could put healing and provision, peace, protection. Pastor John was talking about that last week. God will protect his kids. So by this grace, this favor, you've been saved. The opportunity came. God extended his grace to man, and it was a gift. He gave you faith enough to receive what his grace has provided, and that is salvation. Okay? So when you talk about grace, you're not talking about mercy here. We'll give a definition for what mercy is. Mercy is kind of, they're kind of rolled in a way to each other. But mercy and grace, mercy does not demand faith. Grace does. Grace only comes through faith. For by grace are you saved. How? Say it. Through faith. So faith is the highway or the bridge between heaven's giftings and earth. Grace is more than just, every time we talk about grace, it's like, well, unmerited favor. Yes, but what was included in that unmerited favor? What was that unmerited favor that was extended to you that he gave you a gift of faith so you could receive it? And again, there's more to salvation than just being born again, which is wonderful. Praise God for it. But you don't have to, after you're born again, put up with sickness, put up with lack, put up with fear and all this stuff. He provided a wonderful, wonderful blanket of protection for us in that grace that's been extended. Now, so go back to verse 8 again. By grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works. See, not of works, lest any man should boast. All right? Grace does not fall upon sinners who don't believe. Now, wait a minute, Pastor Dan. I thought that, well, the preaching of the gospel happens. There is faith that will come to a person in order to receive Jesus. But the thing that we have mistaken is what mercy is, and mercy falls upon sinners and saints alike. Let's get the definition of mercy right quick. Mercy, I'll give you the Greek word. I didn't give it to you last week, but it's eleos, E-L-E-H-O-S, eleos, eleos. And it means kindness or goodwill towards the miserable and the afflicted, joined with a desire to help them. Now, this mercy can be God toward man, or it can be man toward man toward woman, woman toward man. You get it. So when we're talking about the grace or the mercy of God, rather, we're talking about this extension of God's kindness toward people even though they don't believe. And mercy is generally reserved for the young in Christ, new believers. That's why the further that you go in Jesus, the more that is being required of you. You can't get away with stuff you got away with when you were just a newborn in Christ. Amen? To whom much is given, much is required. So mercy is a valid characteristic, this kindness of the Lord. In the Old Testament, you could call it the chesed, which in the New Testament is agape, the equivalent of his kindness and his goodness and his love, that unconditional love, regardless of whether they love you or not, you're going to love them. Well, God feels that way about the world. Do you know that? For God so loved, right? That's that love right there. Love the world that he gave with absolutely no guarantee of getting anything back. Now, how many of you would give your child up for sacrifice? I mean, we could just stop right there. But then add into it with it without a guarantee of anybody ever receiving the rest of what you're wanting to provide. In fact, they did just the opposite. Many people did. And they absolutely hated Jesus. The devil moved on people to hate Jesus. They crucified him. He never did anybody wrong. He only did good. He only went about doing good and healing. And the devil hated him. And there are people today that hate Jesus Christ. But God so loved that he gave without any guarantee of ever having anybody receive him into their heart. That is that kind of unconditional love, that chesed, that's the Hebrew word for it, agape, this eleos, mercy, this kindness toward the miserable and the afflicted with a desire to help them. But here's the interesting thing about it. Mercy has fallen upon your life, my life. We've seen mercy happen upon sinners that didn't believe in Jesus Christ. I had mercy happen in my life at times when I did some stupid stuff before I knew any better, shortly after I was saved. Could have gotten me in a lot of trouble. Could have been devastating. But the mercy of God kicked in, that eleos kicked in on my behalf, and I was so appreciative for it. Amen. But grace, as we say, the grace that's spoken of here in verse number 8 of chapter 2 only comes through faith. So then you can readily see that people out there in the world, we're not talking grace with them, we're talking mercy toward them. We need to be more merciful, don't we? That really strikes home when you start thinking about it. We need to show mercy to people. Oh, boy. I should show mercy to that? Yeah, but. Remember the old saying, goat's butt? And I don't mean goat's rear end. I mean goat's butt, okay? First time Ann ever heard me say that, she was like, oh my goodness. He said goat's butt. No, they butt with their horns, Ann. Yeah, and she said, I just didn't know what you were saying. I was like, well, honey, I mean, okay. It wouldn't help if I said bull's butt. That's you know, you're stuck on the butt here. So don't come along with, but God, I don't want to do this, but God. No, mercy doesn't do that. Mercy's extended to people even though they don't believe, and frankly, you know, there comes a point in time with extending mercy to somebody at some point. We do it here in the church. You know, I'll have mercy on people when they didn't know any better, but after they know better and then they continue to do something, now there's a whole different kind of line that we begin to take. Okay, you know, you found out that wasn't right and you keep doing it anyway. To him that knows to do something and doesn't do it, then it becomes sin, right? Well, you say, well, you still have to have mercy. Well, at some point, they're going to pay for their actions. And the world has been warned. And there does come a time when that mercy, you know, will turn into judgment. It is going to happen. I mean, the Lord is very long-suffering, and he's waiting for people to repent and turn their lives to him. But there is coming a day when the Bible says every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, whether they like it or not. And our prayer is that people would receive Jesus before they're absolutely forced to, and then, well, they won't receive him, but they're going to bow their knee to him and admit he's Lord, but it will be too late at that time, and they'll be cast into the lake of fire. My goodness, for eternity. You talk about forever in heaven, and it's going to be a wonderful thing. Forever in hell is going to be a horrible thing. And just like life is a mist here, and when we compare it to our eternity in heaven, well, people that end up going to hell are going to know when they're there, they didn't have to go there. The other was available, and now it's too late. But God's long-suffering is, whew, man, a lot longer than mine. Amen? Yours? Yeah? Yeah. All right. So when people say, and here's what happens many times in people's lives, and even as young believers, now don't look guilty when I say this, and nobody will know if you use this word. But Christians come along, something happens in their life. Oh, I was so lucky. Lucky should not be a word in your vocabulary. See, all along, it was the mercy of God that got you out of that situation that you should have had your ears pinned to the wall over. Uh-huh. I was so lucky. Just slap yourself in the mouth. Don't say that. Don't use that. You are attributing, you know where luck came from? A shortened form of Lucifer, literally. He's the god of Las Vegas, man. 7-11, snake eyes. Lucky, That was the mercy of God. Or in cases where some people are, it's actually a blessing of God in their life, and they said they were lucky. Oh, I'm just, or good luck. Don't say that to me. Now, I'm not going to tell you, bless God, you better duck. I don't mean that, but I'm just don't, you know. I will correct you if you do, just because. And that's one, you know, hey, we all need to get rid of that kind of stuff. Okay, quickly. There are two realms of truth that you and I have to deal with, and this is something we're going to talk about today and get into this all in the next probably 15 minutes. There are two realms of truth that you have to understand what those realms are and their relationship to us, or you're going to misunderstand grace. Okay? First realm that we deal with is the temporal realm. So if you're taking notes, write it down. Temporal, the physical world that you and I live in. How many of y'all know that you have to deal with the physical world that you live in? You do. You drove on roads this morning, in a car, you know, or on a bike, or maybe you walked. You deal with the laws of the land out there. We have other natural laws that you have to deal with. What about the law of gravity? You know, you stand up on top of this building, you can get up there, and I mean, you need a ladder, obviously, but you get up there, get up on the pinnacle up there, and if you jump off, that's pretty high out there. I've been up there. You can believe in the grace of God all you want. When you jump off, gravity's kicking in. Right? Amen. So you use some sense, and you don't jump off the roof. Remember when we were little, we jumped off the roof. Mary, I believe it was your idea to do that. She said if she used an umbrella like, you know, old Mary Poppins, you know. So I can't remember if we had Johnny try that. I think we got John to do it. I don't know. Do you remember the invention you came up with? You drew on it. You remember when Super Balls came out? Okay. Remember, y'all remember in the 60s? Some of you don't remember. But in the 60s, they had these Super Balls. And it was like the atomic sign on this black rubber ball. Oh, man, you take those things. Boom. And they, you know, they really bounce. And if one got away on you going down the street, you know, it would bounce, and then it would catch, and it would go faster. You remember that? Yeah. How many of y'all remember that? Do you ever chase a Super Bowl? Well, if you haven't, go get one and try it. Make sure you're out in a big area down a street that's not, you know, no traffic, because it hits, it goes faster, it goes further. It keeps getting further from you, okay? But I remember Mary's invention. I remember this. Get a carpet. Or a tarp, but I think it was a carpet that you were talking about. And we were going to put about 15 or 20 Super Balls on that carpet and jump off the roof. We never did try that. We never did try that. Mary, you are welcome to try that today if you really think you can do it. Well, no, seriously, you jump off a roof, gravity's going to kick in, okay? So there are some laws that you have to learn to function with, you know. You have to learn how to function in this realm. When you walk up to a stop light at the corner and it says don't walk, I wouldn't step out there and walk. You know, I mean, that could cost you your life. So we live in a temporal world. It's subject to change. The Greek word, when it speaks of a temporal world, means subject to change. Okay, the chair you're sitting in today. Those are very nice chairs. But at some point, the fabric on them is going to rot. Some point, they'll be tossed in the heap, you know? I mean, I'm not like anytime soon, you know. But let's face it, they're subject to change. Amen? The second realm is the spiritual realm. And when you're born again, you are spiritually alive to God. Amen? You became a new creature, and a miracle of regeneration by the Holy Spirit took place. Now, the Bible tells you who the real you is. You're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. That's Ephesians 1, verse 3. I mean, Christ redeemed you from the curse of the law. That's the real you. You're redeemed. With the stripes of Christ, you were healed. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Those are spiritual truths, covenant rights that you have that are only activated by faith, right? Come on, you with me? Only by faith. But in the natural realm, in the natural world, maybe you don't have as much as you need right now. Maybe your body is experiencing some sickness. Maybe, some things aren't quite as good as the Bible says they can be. And so the two seem to be in conflict, the spiritual with the temporal. And that's pretty common. So in the earth, when you got saved here, when you received Jesus, yes, you're saved, but then as I said before, sozo included protection, health, deliverance, provision, amen, peace. It's all underneath that, that grand heading of what the grace of God has given to you. So our job here is to bring the temporal truth into conformity to who you and I are in Christ. And you do that by faith. So the gift that came when you just got saved, and that faith which is the gift of God that Ephesians 2:8 is talking about, that was that saving faith. But from there, you are to take the word and grow in it. The just shall live by what? Faith. Not grace, not mercy. It says faith, doesn't it? For the just shall live by faith. So it's your duty to grow in the things of God. We don't just sit around and expect all the blessings that grace has provided to just fall on us like ripe cherries off a tree. It doesn't work like that. The mercy of God may come that way. But in time, you're going to be required to know some things. And then the walking by faith kicks in. And you know you're in faith when you have corresponding actions going with your faith, because if you don't have any corresponding actions, your faith's dead. So the corresponding actions are very, very important. Amen? Now, I said that there are these two realms, the realm of the temporal realm in which we live, and then there's the spiritual realm. In Christ, we have all these things. That's who I am. You know, the reality in Christ, I'm healed. The reality in Christ, my needs are all met according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's done. I'm redeemed from the curse of the law. That's done. We're not trying to get it done. We've received Jesus. It's a done deal. That's what diatheke, covenant, berith in the Old Testament. But that word for covenant is all about. It's a package deal. It's a completed work. It's done. What's the problem? Right here. This temporal realm in which we live. When you go down and you have to buy some stuff and something happens and now you don't have enough to pay for it. Wait a minute, I thought all my needs were met according to his riches and glory. Yes, that's true. Spiritually, it's a done deal. Physically, it takes faith to bring that into reality here. Yeah. So you have to recognize there are two realms that we're dealing with. Amen? Go over to Ephesians chapter 4. But before you do that, make a note of this. You remember me saying Deuteronomy 30, verse 19 said, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing, therefore choose life that both thou and thy seed may live, right? I was reading the other day in the book of Deuteronomy, as I'm taking the order of the books in reverse. I started with Revelation, and I've gone all the way through the books of the Bible in reverse order just because I've read it in forward order many, many times. I just thought I'd go backwards. You know, I'm not reading the Bible backwards, but I'm just reading the book order from the back to the front. Well, I'm all the way up to Deuteronomy, and I was reading in Deuteronomy chapter 11. He says the same thing. If you do this, you'll be blessed. If you do this, you're cursed. Choice, choice, choice. Say that word with me, choice. Say it again, choice. You make choices every day in this temporal realm of what you're going to do and how you're going to live. And it's all influenced by what you believe. Interesting, right? So go to Ephesians 4. I guess you're in Ephesians 2. You don't have far to go. Ephesians 4. The Bible is a revelation of how to bring the truth of the spiritual realm into the temporal realm of your earthly life. That's what we're trying to do. Is see to it all our needs are met. See to it that we walk in divine health. See to it that we're protected and walk in divine peace. Amen? We're redeemed. It's true in the spiritual realm. Is it true here in the natural realm? That's the difference. Grace has provided all of this for you. But you have something to do with bringing it into this realm. It only comes by faith. Look at Ephesians 4, verse 22. He says this, that ye put off concerning the former conversation or lifestyle, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. You see that? The old man, you're supposed to put off the old man. Your old man operates on the basis of self-gratification, self, selfish. Now, lust there is literally translated self-gratification. And it doesn't have to just be sexual. Of course, it can be that. But it can be anything else out there too that you want to do and you want and you don't care about anybody else. It's about me. It's about us four no more, don't you know? It's about us. No, hold it. That's the old man's way of conducting things. Look at verse 24. This is the new man. Told to put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So it's your responsibility to put off the old man, but the old man only lives in the temporal world. You realize that? The old man doesn't live in heaven. The old man doesn't have any rights in heaven. That old man is the one that keeps trying to resurface all the time. That's that flesh that tries to resurface. And so you're supposed to put that off. Now, you see I skipped verse 23, right? Did you notice that? Anybody paying attention? I skipped verse 23, and I did that on purpose because this verse 23 is going to be the key to you putting off the old man and putting on the new man. Verse 23, look at it. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So you have the old man talked about in verse 22, the new man talked about in verse 24, and the key to putting off the old man and putting on the new man is the renewing of the mind. You need to put on the real you who's created in righteousness and true holiness. You don't sit there and wait for grace to do that for you. Do you hear me? You appropriate grace by faith, and like I just said a moment ago, faith always has a corresponding action with it. Are you renewing your mind? Yeah, Pastor Dan, I'm reading my Bible. I'm trying to get my mind in line with what the Word says. Wonderful. That's a lifetime of duty for you and I as believers. We're supposed to do this the rest of our lives. Keep renewing your mind. Problem with some folks, probably all of us, we don't renew it enough. And then the old man surfaces, and we take off. I was going to do an illustrator today, but I didn't bring an old jacket with me. I needed an old, ripped-up, nasty-looking jacket. Take this one off and put on some grungy-looking thing. Would that make the point? Ha, yeah, look at this, man. And you know, and it stinks. I mean, I need to find one that's been rolled in manure, okay? You have one, yeah, I know, but you do. And then I'll hug you, hallelujah. Oh, I just love you so much. You stink. Well, sin stinks in the nostrils of God, and Christians do that continually. They take off the new man, and they let the old man come back on. How do you put off the old man? This is the big, big question. So how do you put off the old man? Well, Romans 12, verse 2 tells us to renew our minds with the word of God so that you're not conformed to this earth, right? Remember the Phillips translation says, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. So you have to take the word, put it into your thoughts, meditate on it, mutter it. Really, when it talks about renew your mind, it literally means in Greek to renovate your mind. You ever renovate a house? You ever renovate a room? Oh, yeah, you give it a facelift, man. You know, it may involve tearing the sheetrock off. It may involve, who knows what it all entails. Just depends on how bad it all was. But when you renew your mind, you renovate. There's a renovation going on in your thinking. Now you don't think like the world thinks. Well, you know, I'm going to get even. No, you pray for people. So as you renew your mind, now you are positioned to begin this process of putting off the old man once the mind's renewed. Now, flip over to 1 John. So you are positioned now as a Christian to put off the old man. This is a process. Now, as I said to you, it's your responsibility to put off the old man. He only lives in the temporal reality, and he's been corrupted by the desire to gratify self only. That's that old man. The new man is not selfish. The new man doesn't want to do the things the old man did. Well, Pastor Dan, I still see what happens when you still have those thoughts and you don't put off the old man, you fall into the things that the old man did, you start acting like somebody who's not even saved. And then people will be surprised when they find out you're a Christian. So here's the process. Every day, whether you like to admit it or not, you may have sinned today. Somebody said, well, if I sinned, I sure knew it. Well, there are different ways of sinning, you know. You can sin in your thoughts. There are sins of omission. There are sins of commission. There are weakness of the flesh sins that comprise 99 9/10% of all sin. You can sin by not saying something. You can have an attitude and you thought, well, I didn't say it to him. Yeah, but you thought, well, you're an ugly old cuss. Well, that's not a very nice thing, is it? And so there are times, I think, that even as we grow in Christ, the mercy of God's being extended to us. So don't ever think that you're going to get to that place in your life where, you know, well, God will never have mercy on you anymore. He still may need to because you're ignorant in that area and you didn't even recognize that that was a sin. So the closer you get to him, the more you renew your mind, the more you begin to draw closer to him and you begin to pick up on things. That's where this conviction comes in. Amen? Now, 1 John chapter 1 here, verse number 9 is one that we've talked about many times in the past. It reads this way, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, that's really wonderful, Pastor Dan. Yeah, you should be very thankful that that verse is in the Bible. This, just because we're going to walk in grace doesn't mean that we don't have to confess our sin. Now, keep in mind, you're talking about two realms again. You're talking about the temporal realm and you're talking about the spiritual realm. And if you're not careful, you will get the idea that by grace I'm saved and walking in grace doesn't have anything to do with me and how I live my life in this earth. Well, wait a minute. You're talking spiritually, it doesn't. You're talking in the spiritual realm, it doesn't. In this natural realm, when you get into sin, that'll block your fellowship with God, whether you believe it or know it or not. So what is this talking about? Well, it doesn't mean that you have to go find sackcloth and ashes and tear your clothes and sit down and bawl and squall and tear your hair out until you feel good about properly repenting for what you did. That's not what it's saying here. This is pointing to, first off, it's written to believers. But secondly, it's pointing to your fellowship. Let me just say it this way. Verse number 9 is how you take off the old man. Do you see that? That's how you put off the old man, through a confession. And notice he didn't say anything about repentance, did he? You know why? Because the old man cannot do that. The old man cannot. We say, well, no, wait a minute, Pastor. I'm a new man. Yeah, in Christ you are, but you still have to deal with it here. So what does he tell you to do? He tells you to acknowledge it. Hamalageo is the Greek word. And Marvin, we've talked about this before. You're literally coming back into line, and you're putting off the old man. You're going, this is stupid. I know that is wrong. Father, forgive me. I confess it. I acknowledge it before you in Jesus' name. Thank you for that cleansing. And you're right smack dab back in line with the old man off and the new man on. But if you're not aware that there are two realms we're talking about here, the temporal realm, which, hey, you need to acknowledge. If there's sin in your life, you need to acknowledge it. Amen? This doesn't mean that you're to focus on sin and become sin conscious in your life. And every time you turn around, you're just, I'm not sure if I sinned or not. Oh, did I sin? That's kind of like the guy, have you seen the video when all this corona stuff started? The guy goes in to the bathroom and he's washing his hands. And then he's going to get so he pulls the paper. No, well, I touched that. I bumped that. Now I got to wash my hands again. And he's going through all this process, and then he uses the hand stuff, and then he's like, he can't get out of the bathroom because he keeps touching stuff. He's become very germ conscious, and I think a lot of people have become very germ conscious over this whole thing. Amen? We don't want you to become sin conscious. You should not have a sin consciousness. You are to walk with a righteousness consciousness. Amen? But there are two realms of truth that we're dealing with. And if you don't realize that there are two realms, you'll say that your fellowship with God is not dependent on not sinning. And spiritually, that's true. But here in the earth, you have to make sure that you're not doing things that block your fellowship with God. Because if that is not the case, then you could go out and sin all you want and have all the fellowship with God. There'd be nothing about chaste living. The Bible says something very plain about that. Without holiness, no man will see the Lord. That's in the New Testament. Amen? Yes. It's there. I don't like that. It is a byproduct of your faith growing and having works, corresponding works that go with it. Grace provided all of this for you, but it's your job to be growing in faith. Your faith needs to increase. Otherwise, you wouldn't ever have to hear the word again. Why hear the word? Because you need faith. Christ's faith bought and purchased the whole plan. Now, you have to believe and trust in what his faith did. By your faith be it done unto you. I mean, if it weren't that way, then we'd never have to pray. We just say, God, you do it. Just do that. But we're told to lay hands on the sick. We're told to cast out devils. We're told to go about and preach the good news. Christ's faith purchased salvation. We know that, of course. Amen. Thank you, Lord. But we're the mouthpieces down here. We're the hands extended. And you need to believe this word. And part of believing this word is believing that his faith bought and paid for the whole thing that grace has provided. So, all right, well, you mess up down here, you sin, you get into something. The old man's trying to resurface
And you get confused about stuff. And so you say, okay, Father, I feel conviction. Yeah, that was sin. You need to repent of it. Ask and take the old man off and put the new man back on again and keep doing it. Now, you're in 1 John chapter 1. Look at verse 7. Here, look what he says here right before us. He says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If you're walking in the light, what light? The light that you have. You can't walk in the light I have. You have to walk in the light you have. I can't walk in the light you have. I have to walk in the light I have. And if we're doing that, that blood is cleansing us in our fellowship. If we say that we have no sin, basically, the truth's not in you. You're deceiving yourself. But if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sin, cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And he goes on and says it again. If you say you have not sinned, you make him a liar and his word is not in you. In order to put off the old man that lives in this temple arena, we are to confess or acknowledge sin. The old man cannot turn in another direction. Do you realize that? Come on, do you realize your old man does not want to repent? You, the spiritual, the real you, Jerry, has to tell the temporal you, hey, you're going to line up with the word of God. You're not going, in other words, flesh, you're not going to have your way. Right? You're not going to do what you think you're going to do. All right, I gave into that. Father, forgive me. Boom, the new man's back on again. The old man will never do it. You as the new man in Christ have to gather it up and say, okay, we're going to walk this word. We're going to buckle down, bucko. Bucko. Okay. Okay. But it's all been provided in this category of grace that's been extended to you and I. And we praise God for it. But it is appropriated by faith, guys. I'll close with this. Your acknowledgement of sin is what, you put off the old man by acknowledging the things that kept you from having intimate fellowship with the Lord in this temporal realm. The old man cannot turn in another direction. He cannot. Your acknowledging your inability to get it right in this body of flesh is what is happening when you confess or acknowledge your sin before the Lord. That old man wants to keep resurfacing. Stand to your feet. The old man wants to keep resurfacing. He wants to keep having his way or her way. And it's your duty as a believer. This is the putting off the old man. This is done through the acknowledging of sin. But all along, not becoming sin-focused and sin-conscious. And every time I turn around, you know, I've got thinking I've sinned again. No. Put the word in. Put the word in your thoughts. Keep renewing your mind. You'll recognize when you miss God. You'll recognize it. Come on, bow your head with me and let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the word today. We thank you that we are men and women who will put on the new man and put off the old man. And we will be more consistent with the renewing of our mind and the times and the events where we need to acknowledge and get things straight will become fewer and fewer and further between because we'll be walking that word consistently in the name of Jesus. So we thank you for that, Lord God. And we bless you today, and we praise you for it in Jesus' name. If you all agree, say amen. Amen.